You spend so much time and you don't do the, you couldn't make any money. But when we preach the gospel, you spend so many hours to preach to a person, what did you get? You get nothing. Sometimes even one cup of water they don't give to you. And sometimes they just scold at you, right? And sometimes they rebuke you, abuse you verbally. Then you are scratching your head, why should I do this? All right. I'm not a person who cannot find a job, right? How come I do this? There's only one reason, right? Why can't I do this? Because Jesus loved you, and Jesus moved me. So I love you, so I preach to you. That's the only reason. So when we go out, we have to go out with the heart of Jesus Christ. It's very important, and it's not easy. The heart of Jesus Christ is to have compassion. You know, when Pharisees look at the sinner, how do they feel? When Pharisees look at sinner, how do they feel? They consider sinner like a person who had leprosy. Do you want to get in touch with the leprosy? Nobody, right? So they keep themselves very far away from the sinner. So when they saw Jesus Christ went into sinner's house and to have lunch, to have a dinner there, then they asked the disciple of Jesus Christ, how come your master try to have meal with the sinner? All right? He's supposed to do that according to the Pharisees' custom. And what did Jesus say? Only the physician, or only the sick needs physician. Physician, referring to Jesus Christ himself. Sick, referring to sin. Only those who realize they have sinned, they need Jesus Christ. And Pharisees, they did not realize they have sinned. So, they don't need Jesus Christ. And to Jesus Christ, those who are entangled by sin is very pitiful. It's just like a person who's sick almost to die. Very pitiful. So Jesus Christ purposely spent time to a family which nobody wants to go. You know, if we always visit a family a lot of people want to visit, then it's nothing new, right? But if we try to visit a family nobody wants to visit, then you must find a reason to go. A lot of times, the only reason because I care. How come I care? Because Jesus cares. And when Jesus' heart moving me, then I care too. That's the only reason. So, without a heart of compassion, we cannot walk too long for God. Right? You know, when there's a lot of people treat people selectively. I like this type of people. I like this kind of culture. I like this type of personality, right? So a lot of people are very selective. When they make friends, they are very selectively choose the friend to make. But when we try to preach the gospel, we cannot be very selective. I like to preach this type of truth seeker. I don't like to preach that kind of type of truth seeker. No. That is not the compassion of Jesus Christ. According to Galatians, right? Regardless of Greek or Jews, regardless of what? What is next? And regardless of male or female, Jesus Christ will accept them. What is the second one? Regardless of master or as a servant, right? Jesus will accept them. So the love of Jesus Christ is very broad. He accepts everybody unconditionally. Also, when we do the church work, if we are very choosy, very selective, I only work for certain particular type of people, then we are not working with the compassion of Jesus Christ. We are working with our human love. So we have been transformed to bring a heart of compassion. And then Jesus Christ will walk with us. Why? Because God is love. Where there is love, there is God. Or where there is God, where there is love. If we do
do the work of God, do the evangelical work without the love of God means God is not there. If God is not there, this kind of work is not going to be fruitful because God is not there. If God is there, you can feel the pain of that person. If God is there, you can feel the loneliness of that person. If God is there, you can feel the hurt of that kind of person. When we feel the loneliness and pain of the hurt of that person, all of a sudden, you find out you cannot leave. You will come back. Even though we don't like it, you still will come back. Why? Because the love of God compels us. So we have to bring a heart of compassion to do the evangelical work. That's most difficult. You know, when we go to the Africa, the most difficult thing is what? You know, mosquito? Or different living standard. It's good. I strongly encourage you to join the AMC training, which will start from this coming Sunday. But it's too late, right? But next year you can try. After you receive training, you go to Africa at least once. There are a lot of benefit. When you join the Africa volunteer, and when you come back, right? You eat everything, you will be very appreciative. Right? Even though in Africa, everything is organic. It's good, right? But still, our food tastes better, right? In Africa, you sleep on that bed, right? Sometimes you sleep on the bed, you cannot climb up by yourself. You need somebody to help you, to pull you out, right? But after you sleep for 2 weeks, then you come back sleep on the floor, thank God. So you come back from Africa, you will be appreciative to everything. So it's really good. But that kind of difference of living standard, really, it takes time to adjust. Can you imagine all your life, right? Take everything related to electricity out. What will happen? No smartphone, right? No telephone, no computer, no television, no radio, no TV game, no nothing. All right. Will it drive you crazy? Right. But that is the life of Africa. But once you live there, you get used to it, you will enjoy it. Why? Even you have money, you have nothing to buy. You have no shopping mall to go. Even you can go online, shop Amazon.com, but it's too far. All right? So it's so easy to be satisfied. I tried in Nigeria in 1980s. $1, you can buy more than 100 oranges. Do you like it? $1, you can buy about 10 coconuts. Right? It's more cheaper than Coca-Cola. So there's a lot of difference. You know, we are too much well-sheltered. We are too pampered by our parents. So you have to go. It will make you mature. After you come back, you appreciate everything. You will never complain. But the most difficult part to go to Africa is not that. It's from the bottom of your heart, you really love them. That's the most difficult part. Really. Sometimes this one come to ask money, sometimes that one ask this, and sometimes this one do this, sometimes that one cheat you, and you still want to love them. It's difficult. Right? But you really love them, and God will walk with you. So we have to go to preach gospel with a heart of compassion. That's exactly what Jesus do, and that's the most difficult part. Let's come back to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35.
Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like a sheep having no shepherd. Here talk about, right? Jesus went about all the city and villages. It looks very simple, right? But when you really do it, it's not simple, right? You not travel by car with the air condition there, right? Oh, it's walk by what? 2 feet. When you preach the gospel all day, means you walk all day. Oh, so if you follow Jesus Christ, you don't have to join 24 hours. You walk a lot, exercise a lot. And Jesus saw them, he had compassion on them. They were like a sheep without shepherd. Sheep without shepherd, first. What is the danger? Sheep without shepherd. When the lion comes, nobody protect them. Sheep without shepherd, when they are wounded, nobody heal them. Sheep without shepherd, when they gone astray, nobody guide them back. Sheep without shepherd, when they're hungry, nobody provide them food, grass or water. So this generation, like a sheep without shepherd, we have been devoured by Satan through the sinful stuff, right? We have deviated from the true way. So we cannot find out the meaning of life. We look the way we live our life. Actually, we are very pitiful. Let's look into the Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. How come salvation is so important, right? Verse 18. To open your eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is called salvation. If a person been saved, the person is in light. If the person not in saved, the person is in darkness. So to be saved or not being saved is the difference between light and darkness. And what the light means? Light means life. Darkness means death. If a person not saved, the person is living dead. Right? If the person is saved, the person not only physically alive, is spiritually alive too. If the person is saved, we have the power to get rid of the bondage of sin. If the person is not saved, sin has the power to control us through different kind of things. From gamble, from drunker, from sexual immorality, everything to control us. Right? If we are not saved, we are like blind. We cannot see our future. But if we are saved, our eyes open, we can see directly into eternal life in heaven. So it's so much difference. If we keep this in mind, right? If we are saved, we have been migrated to the kingdom of God. If we are not saved, we live under the kingdom of Satan, which is no hope at all. If we are saved, our sin been forgiven. Sin is what? Sin is death. Sin is sickness. The sickness incurable. Sin is the debt. It's so high, you can never return, repay it. So, when we keep this in mind, we look into a person. Even the person drive fancy car, Germany made car, right? The person, everything is, decorate themselves with everything, with very expensive things. But you still feel the person very pitiful, because no salvation. So we have to go out with compassion. When we have compassion, we will continue to do it. So in Africa, you can see non-African people in 1980s, only three kind of people. The first is businessmen, they went there for profit. The second is sent by government, they have no choice, they represent their country. The third is missionary or charity organization, they choose to go there. Why? Because the love of Jesus Christ compels them. So today is the same thing. How can our evangelical work not go just lifeless, just so mechanically? It's well planned, they have no life. Two things very important. First, we do it with compassion. The second, we need the Holy Spirit to move, to work. If Holy Spirit is working and everybody filled by the love of God, and that kind of evangelical service will be very, very lively. Now, lively, not like a routine chore. So this is, we have to go with the compassion of Christ. Now we come back to B. When we go, we have to go with the gospel. Gospel is what? It's Christ-centered message. And according to the Bible, the gospel is the words of God. And the words of God is words of life. And the words of God is words of salvation. When we go out to preach in the TJC, yesterday we mentioned there are three types of truth seeker. One is atheist, who don't belong to God. The second is who belong to God, but don't belong to, believe in God, but don't believe in Jesus. All right? And the third type is the one who believe in Jesus and don't believe in TJC. All three types of truth seeker, the content we are preaching, almost everything is come from 10 basic belief. 10 basic belief. So today, what we are preaching? We are preaching 10 basic belief. So in order that we can be a person who really can share the good news to them, we must be familiar with 10 basic belief. All right. If you don't know God, I use the 10 basic belief to talk to you so that you know there is God. If you know there's God, then we use a 10-page belief to convince you. And Jesus Christ is a Savior. If you believe Jesus is a Savior, I use a 10-page belief to convince you. TJC is the only one true church. So what kind of message we deliver? Go with the 10-page belief. Now the question is, who can recite 10-page belief? Raise your hand. Who can recite 10 basic belief? Raise your hand. One. Oh, you are a TDP student. If you cannot recite it, you... okay. Oh. Who can recite 10 basic belief? Well, you open the Bible, now it's too late. It's not like a 10 commandment. You can find the Acts chapter 20. Right? Let's think about... Within the 10 basic view, there are so-called TJC 5 basic doctrine, right? The most difference between TJC and other churches is what? 5 basic doctrine. And within the 5 basic doctrine, there are so-called 3 sacraments. And what are 3 sacraments? What does the church do in the last day of spiritual convocation? First, go to water baptism and come back for foot washing and then conduct Holy Communion and finish. Right? There are already 3. And 3, plus the most unique point of TJC, we pray with tongues. Right? And then we hold the service on Holy Sabbath. And this already 5 basic belief of TJC. Right? 5 basic belief of TJC, we have add another 5. Genesis is the first one. We believe there is God, right? And God descend on the world, become Jesus, and Jesus died for us, which is John chapter 1. And he resurrected, right? And he is the Savior. Oh, so this is already 1, which is 6, right? And then the last chapter, Jesus' second coming. He is coming, right? To judge the world and to destroy the world. Then it's already 7, right? There are another 3. Another three, right? Think about, what do we believe? We believe in the Bible, right? Bible is the only book that tells us what is the truth, right? Oh, and then already 8. There are another 2. One is talk about church, the church we join. Oh, through Jesus' church is the apostolic church, right? And the last one is the principle of salvation. Salvation is a grace. We can receive it by faith. And after we receive salvation, we should live a life of what? Holiness with love. And that's 10 basic beliefs, right? So we have to be familiar with the 10 basic beliefs. So all different kind of truth seeker, we can tell them the truth. But besides the truth, right? In Mark chapter 16, talk about Jesus Christ will accompany, will prove the truth with the miracle, wonder, and signs, which is a grace. So what should we preach to the truth seeker? First one, we preach our personal experience or the grace we receive from God or a lot of testimony the members who experience or receive from God, grace. Right? We have to understand what kind of truth seeker, what his problem, or what is his need. And then according to his need, we give him some life testimony. And some kind of experience, personal experience. And besides this, then we have to accompany by the truth. So we have to go with the gospel and with testimony, with personal experience. The best way to prove there is God is personal testimony. Nobody can deny our personal experience, right? How do I receive Holy Spirit? Nobody can deny the experience you receive Holy Spirit. After I accept the gospel, how do I transform my life? Right? Previously, I tried so hard, I cannot do it. But after I believe Jesus, I can change to a new person. Nobody can deny the fact that we have been transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So this kind of personal testimony is so powerful, nobody can say no. No. So what should we preach? Peter said, we preach what we ever heard and what we ever experienced. That is a message. Now we come back. Next one. First one, Christ-centered message. Even though we give a lot of messages or testimony, very important, bear in mind, it's not to what? Glory ourselves. It's not to present ourselves. It is to glorify the name of God. It is to elevate the importance of Jesus Christ in our life. So we have to bear in mind all the messages or testimony is Christ-centered. It's for the sake of Jesus Christ. So we can hide ourselves and let God be glorified, elevated. Number C. Go with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is so powerful. In the name of Jesus Christ, sin can be forgiven in the time of water baptism. And the second, in the name of Jesus Christ, we can perform the miracle. So the name of Jesus is so powerful, can perform the miracle. So we have to tell them the powerful name of God, Jesus Christ. And to teach them to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, to ask for anything in the name of Jesus Christ, and to testify how the name of Jesus Christ has transformed the church, has transformed ourselves. Now, the third one, the only way of salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Under heaven, there is no other name rely on which we can be saved. Now, the last one. The name of Jesus Christ will make our life meaningful and joyful. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Let's read it. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. So they departed from the council, rejoicing that were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Right? They were beaten up in the council, and they were forbidden to preach the name of Jesus Christ, right? When they left the council, probably their body was very painful, right? They'd just been beaten up, right? But in their heart, they were so joyful. Why? Because they were counted worthy to suffer the shame for his name. Look, the name of Jesus Christ will make our life meaningful. When we do everything in the bottom of our heart, we do it for Jesus Christ, and that is the beginning that our life becomes meaningful. And whatever we do in the name of Jesus Christ, it will become so meaningful, right? You spend money to eat ice cream, right? At that time, you are eating. It's very wonderful, right? But after the second day, you already forgot. But if you, in the name of Jesus Christ, you give that small amount of money to a person, I do it because the name of Jesus Christ, in the second day, when you recall, it still feel very meaningful. I do a very good thing, right? I use the money to feed a homeless person. Yeah. So the name of Jesus made us joyful, meaningful. Yeah. So we bring the name of Jesus Christ out. So this is, we go out with Jesus Christ, with the Spirit, Holy Spirit, with his compassion, and with his gospel and with his almighty name. That's point seven. Amen.